Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number three. What's happening? Take you and Tierney on the road, and it is always a fun little roadie down to Philly for the annual Army-Navy game here at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, and we're hanging out inside of our Tiki and Tierney mobile Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it is your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Football Friday. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network. Sirius XM. Channel 206. Thanks to all our friends, USAA, and everybody affiliated with the Army-Navy setup. So far, it's been great. Hopefully, you guys have felt a little bit of the pageantry that we've been able to bring either through the radio speaker or through your TV set here. Kirk Herbstreit was really good. We had Herbie the first hour. If you wanted to catch him, just download our podcast, Apple iTunes, radio.com, etc. Bobby Carpenter was really good as well. Former Buckeye. You see him on ESPN's Get Up and some other stuff as well. Napoleon McCallum, you guys were
geeking out
an inch away from geeking out to the point where I was going to go home. Like, and I know that deep down you wanted to geek out about outer space. You really did, didn't you?
First of all, we were just talking, BT and I, about his schedule.
Oh, my God.
I mean, forget how hard it is as a Navy cadet or, an Army cadet or a midshipman in school. He goes to the NFL, gets up in the morning, goes to work, then goes to practice, and then has to meet with coaches. And
Special.
Like, how do you do that?
That's why nobody really does it besides Napoleon McCallum.
I can't even imagine how he got through that day.
Yeah, that's the point, too, because you think about just the rigors of juggling the incredible academics at these academies.
Right.
I mean, they challenge the mind in a way. They are as prestigious a university as you will find.
Yeah.
And then you incorporate, well, not only do you have to hit the books, as all the midshipmen and cadets do at the respective schools, but you're also playing Division I sports. Oh, yeah, by the way, now let's amplify that by 10. Now you've got the professional expectations of a team like the Raiders with Al Davis, who is there to only win. Let's win, baby. So it's amazing. I mean, I couldn't even come close to doing that. So it was really good. We wanted to get him on the show for a while. Really happy that that came through.
And then I didn't even know he was an astronaut fan like I was.
I didn't know that at all. I mean,
I'm like, look at him. Like, really?
But you've done more than he has, and he actually went to one of the academies.
Somebody's got to get him.
Well, that's why I looked at the cap. What was it? The TG? What was it called again? What was the name of the craft that he wanted to get on?
Oh, the F-18.
F-18. He wants to go on.
Yeah.
Navy. Well, I mean, what are you waiting for, Navy?
He's like iconic, man.
Like, come on. I mean, if Roger Staubach calls, you pick up the phone.
That's right.
If David Robinson calls, you pick up the phone.
That's right.
If Napoleon McCallum calls, you pick up the phone.
Agreed.
And you do whatever they tell you to do.
I
come
agree.
On, gentlemen and ladies of higher higher rank. Let's go. All right, so we'll make our picks coming up this hour, and we are just flat out blistering. I was gonna have Samter look at this.
Yeah. So I should have actually included the Army-Navy game in my six-pack.
You want to make an extra one?
No.
Well, we're both going to pick Army because we both want Army to win.
Well, yes.
But I actually think Navy's going to beat them up pretty good.
Look,
Army's not that good this year.
BT and I talked about this earlier. My grandfather was in the Army. He was in the 525th Military Intelligence Division, and he passed away in Vietnam. So I have Army in my heart, but Navy is so good this season.
They've rushed for,
I've said this so many times, I can't help it because it's shocking to me.
What is it again now?
4,000 yards they've rushed for as a team this season. Almost 4,000. They're just under 4,000. 3,969 rushing yards that they've rushed for as a team this season. And Malcolm Perry, their starting quarterback, who is basically their best offensive player, has 1,000 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. 1,500 yards rushing as a quarterback and 19 touchdowns.
19.
I mean, they're ranked 23rd in the country right now. Navy is. Army's having a little bit of a down season at 5-7 under Jeff Munkin. But this game, it doesn't matter.
Like, it doesn't matter.
It's all about you know, who's going to make that one extra play in the fourth quarter to win it, because that's how this game always turns out to be, and it will be no different, I think, tomorrow on CBS. It's going to be a rainy day, so they're
kind of fits, right?
It just fits.
Yeah,
we're going to run the ball down your throat over and over and over and over again.
I don't know the history behind how they changed venues, because they played all over the – you know, they played in San Diego a little bit.
That's right.
They played in Philly, obviously. They played in Baltimore. You know, I'm driving home, I see the signs of MetLife. It's coming to the MetLife Stadium in 2021. They're playing there. What is the rotation? Do you know?
I would imagine a lot of it is just ease of arrival and having venues that can fit something like this. Like, so – I mean, you're starting to see a little bit of it here. Not really yet, but there's a gala that's here. You see, you know, military men and women and their spouses walking in and you know, black tie, attire. And so you got to have, obviously, a great stadium and a venue to host the event, as the Link is, obviously, and MetLife Stadium also. But you also have to have, like, the facilities to handle the influx of the crowd that comes. And in the former military men and women that are going to be in attendance here, the president's coming to this game tomorrow. I think it's Trump's third year in a row coming to the Army Navy game. So there's a lot to consider.
Has every president come to this? Why wouldn't every single president? And I'm not injecting politics into our show.
I don't know.
But why would every single president not come to this game?
They should.
I mean, unless there's something truly dire going on with the war. So I guess you have to leave that window of.
That's probably your answer, to be honest with you.
But if we're not embroiled in a war or some serious turmoil, I mean, these young men and these young women who are in the stadium, I mean, they're your president's supposed to show up and watch this game. I'm trying to find out a little bit more about the history here. Let me see. We know that it started back in 1890.
Yeah,
that we know.
This is the 120th. Yeah.
The game's been held in multiple locations, but outside the 1926 game in Chicago. And the 1983 in Pasadena, it's been played in the Northeast area, most frequently in Philly, followed by New York and the Baltimore region. Let's see. Navy had the 14-game win streak from 2002 to 2015. That's the longest of either side. Through the 2018 meeting, Navy leads the series 60-52 and 7 ties. Boy, that's got to be a buzzkill. What happened in the Army-Navy game? We tied. You just play. No, there are no ties allowed. You play until somebody wins.
Well, that was probably way back when they allowed ties.
You still never allow ties with these young men. They want to walk. I almost think that.
Make an exception for the Army-Navy game. Unlimited overtime.
Hell yeah. You'd almost rather walk off the field a loser, but at least know that something happened.
I hear
like,
you.
Who want Army-Navy? They cannot walk off the field with a tie.
That's true.
Let's see. They first met in 1890. They played 30 times between that date and through 1927. It's been renewed annually. So there were some intermittent stoppages for different reasons, clearly.
Yeah.
But the series has been renewed annually since 1930. Wow. All right. So this is going to be tremendous tomorrow. We'll get our picks coming up. And what we started to say was we should – do you want to throw this in the hopper? Do you want to make it a –
I mean, we're going to pick the same way. I
don't know, because I think Navy's going to actually cover the number.
What is the number?
I think it's 9 or 9.5. Steve, I can't bet against Army.
Exactly.
They're the Black Knights of the Hudson Valley.
I agree.
I went to Marist. I'm 20 miles from
West
Army.
Point's right up the road from us.
I can't do that.
I'd feel like it's in our backyard.
I can't. That's cheating on a program I have too much respect for. All right, there's a couple of games this weekend, and I really, really am interested to see. It doesn't sound incredibly sexy, but it is incredibly important. And we knew this was going to take on this sort of feel when they flexed this game a couple of weeks back. The Steelers and the Bills flexed to Sunday night. Josh Allen did not play well, and a lot of players don't play well against the Ravens. I get that. But Josh Allen's numbers, the advanced numbers outside of the pocket with a clean pocket, I studied them the next day on PFF. He was 0 for 13 on third downs. Like, the numbers were ghastly.
Yeah.
Josh Allen needs to bounce back. He's been very good this year. That was a bad game for
him. Well, Josh Allen gets away with it because he's such a great athlete. And he does things with his legs that extend plays and get first downs and things of that nature. But this Pittsburgh team is playing at a different level ever since Duck Hodges took over. And Mike Tomlin, to be honest with you, took over the play calling of the defense, or at least started injecting his influence into the defense. And it's funny. My brother told me a story a couple of weeks ago, and I forget who the game was. It's slipping my mind right now. But Mike Tomlin basically drew up a new defense at halftime, and come out at halftime, and they shut out the team that they were playing. I flipped my mind out who it was.
I'll punch up their schedule.
But
before you go,
it's been like it's been this season. It's like his personal mission to will this team. We talked about this almost weekly, BT, to will this team to success. Because talent-wise, they are inferior to any team that they've had over the last decade or so.
That's
fair. With Big Ben down and your third-string quarterback you're on. Defensively, they've gotten a little bit better, obviously.
I think they're a lot faster on defense.
They're definitely better defense. I'm talking offense.
I know you are.
They're certainly better on defense.
Was it the Colts game, by the way?
Not the Colts.
Browns?
Browns.
Okay.
Browns. It was I studied it for the Cincinnati Bengals versus Browns game that I did last weekend for CBS. Defense, it was a completely different defense in the second half.
Yeah.
And that's the influence of Coach Tomlin. And so this game gets flexed for a reason. Both teams are 8-5.
The Bills are
9-4. The Steelers are 8-5. And so the Steelers are trying to gain that upper wild card advantage mm-hmm. over the Bills by winning head-to-head, and it gives them a better chance of making the postseason. So much is at stake here.
Yeah.
And the Bills want to be a team that's on the come, right? After years of kind of being on the outside, they're finally getting it done in a convincing way. Defensively, they're great. Josh Allen's playing good football for the most part. This game means a lot. It's the biggest one of the weekend, it feels like.
It does, and I really think the Bills need it a lot more than the Steelers. I know that Mike Tomlin would never subscribe to this. Steeler fans don't want to hear it, but I can say this. I can objectively step back and say this, knowing these circumstances that have infiltrated their season, talking about Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There's built-in excuses for them to if they were to kind of crawl to the finish line here. Inferior offense, a lot of injuries, changing of cast, etc. The Bills have gotten to a point, and nobody, even though we've given them respect on the show, nobody has fully taken them like seriously. Like nobody put them in tier one, and rightfully so. And I think there were some people who weren't even sure if they were tier two. Like if you think the Packers are a tier two team, like I do, I don't think the Packers are tier one right now. I think tier two would be more like the Packers. A lot of people think, well, maybe then the Bills are like tier three. So that Ravens game represented an interesting moment for them. And Josh Allen, 17 for 39. How do you throw the ball 39 times and have 146 yards? His average throw was 3.7.
I know. Well, that was the complaint last year.
3.7.
And so they're winning on defense, and they can't run the ball like they used to.
Singletary's good.
I know, but they're not running the ball.
He had a good game last week too.
Singletary
was great. They don't. Singletary was 17 for 89.
Oh, that's good enough.
I knew he ran well.
Good enough.
Good enough if your quarterback does his job.
True.
It's a big spot for him. He played well on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. I think half the nation was like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. that's a cute little story. Well, the Bills are better than I thought. Big spot for the Bills coming up this week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to see how they play.
By the way, Marlo.
Yeah.
Here's
Marlo. Let's get
TV
the camera on Marlo. Where's Marlo?
On this side.
Yeah, let's get an honor. Look at how great
Marlo
is.
Sent us a text message
to
explain the question that we were asking.
What question?
Stop hiding behind the...
Yeah, what are you hiding for?
Why this game is in Philadelphia so frequently. So, according to Marlo, cities host or bid to host this game in 2021. It's in New York because of the anniversary of 9/11. But the reason it's in Philly is because it is halfway between Annapolis and West Point. So this is kind of neutral ground.
She's trying to hide. You got to show the country.
Good
that
intel.
Come on now. Look at that intel. Let's just hope. Did we fact check it?
No, I didn't fact check it, but I trust Marlo.
So do I. 100% I trust her. All right. We trust yours unless he tells us who was that quarterback a couple of years ago. The kid from the Cardinals who played at
Virginia Tech.
Logan Thomas played at Virginia Tech. Yeah. Remember we had Jaws on. He's like, this kid's going to be the best quarterback you've ever seen.
He had a cannon.
Where's Logan Thomas?
He had a cannon.
No, he did. Listen, we all airmail a few picks. Jaws is phenomenal. Get his thoughts on the Eagles, where he played, of course. Get his thoughts on some of the young college quarterbacks. We'll bounce around. Ron Jaworski is on set. Looking forward to that. Where's Jaws? What up, Jaws? We'll come back in a sec. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds nice. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, very, very, very fun start to the weekend. It's an honor to be in Philadelphia again as we get ready for another Army-Navy battle. And it's a different kind of battle. It's a different kind of ferocity. And with us today, we'll talk about everything, the great Ron Jaworski. What's up, Jaws?
Hey, Brandon, buddy? Brandon, great to be with you. Great to be with my friend Tiki Barber.
Oh, he's your friend now.
Oh, we're, well, when,
it's a fraternity,
we have,
man.
We have the same uniform now.
Exactly.
Army-Navy uniform, right?
That's right.
But the last time we competed was down at a little golf tournament sponsored by R.J. Reynolds down at Pinehurst. So we had a lot of fun.
That means you waxed him.
It was competitive.
That means I was not good.
Yeah, but this guy, what are you, about a 5 handicap? You're pretty good, right?
9.5 index, so it depends where I'm playing.
Okay.
You know, this,
that means some days you're going to shoot 80, other days you're going to shoot 70.
78 to 88.
Well, you go up that high, you go up to almost 90, huh?
Yeah, it depends where I play. If you play Pinehurst number 2.
That's true. That's fair.
That's why you have an index and it moves with you.
I was gonna say.
But welcome to Philadelphia, guys. This is an extraordinary, extraordinary weekend for those that live in this community. And Army-Navy is just an incredible game. I've been coming to this game whenever I was available since 1977.
Oh, wow. Really?
You know, when I was traded from the Los Angeles Rams to the Philadelphia Eagles in 77, you know, we were playing at then Veterans Stadium. The game was at Veterans Stadium. You know, we would practice across the street over at JFK. So we'd come off of practicing like a Saturday morning, and you'd see everyone lining up to go into the stadium. And all of a sudden, I said, I could even sneak into this game, you know, because our locker room's right there. I go out. After that, I was hooked on this game. Yeah. Army-Navy is spectacular. Those of you who have not gone to an Army-Navy game, put it on your bucket list. Philly, wherever the game may be, but come to this game. It is meaningful.
What hooked you? What was it that really brought you in? What connected
to
you?
Number one, football. You know, we're football guys. We're attracted to football. But once you are aware of what this game is about, it's much more than football. I mean, it's our country. Mm-hmm. It's Army-Navy. And you get tears in your eyes when this game is over because, hey, these guys battled on the football field for 60 minutes. They gave everything they had. But now they're moving on to their lives, and they're going to real battle.
Yeah.
And they're defending us
to
do this and talk about the game and talk about the NFL.
That's
so, I mean, that's what really got me fired up. Hey, I love these guys as football players, but I love them more for the service that they're performing for us.
Yeah, and Jaws and I were talking right before we came on air because we watch some of these NFL games, and it's like, dude, are they really trying? won't name any names right now, but it's like, dude, they look like they don't even care right there. You never get that in this game.
Oh, no.
It's like every play is the last play.
There's nothing.
They leave it all
nothing
on the field.
Left in the body, man. It's all given up, and that's why it's so meaningful. And, you know, the pageantry of the game, the pregame, the excitement. I guess the president's going to come tomorrow, so that adds a little more, you know, glamour to the event. And Philadelphia, by the way, just loves this game and embraced this game. And, I'm on the PHL Sports Committee, which is, you know, we brought the draft here a couple years ago, and I'm on that committee.
Which was great, by the way.
It was, well, we made the league a lot of money, Tiki, by the way. We did so good, they took it somewhere else.
I know, but you made it a part. Like, you created the example of what the draft should be like, right? Not just stand in some room, but, like, make it a party. Make it like the city. And even though it was cold, but it was awesome.
No, it was nice. We actually had good weather. We were, like, in the 70s, so it was beautiful. And we had 250,000 people, you know, on the parkway, the draft going on. Hey, the league does a tremendous job, but it was great that finally.
No, Nashville was cold because it was raining.
I was in Nashville.
No, we were there.
Nashville was cold.
It was raining.
Chicago one year was cold, too, the second year in Chicago. But, you know, the city embraced it. You know, it's like New York. There's passionate football fans.
Oh, yeah.
250,000 people. The draft went great. And all of a sudden, they took it away from us. You know, took it to Dallas, you know. So,
We're talking to Ron Jaworski, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right,
Jules is here.
Let's get to your Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, bring it. Oh, wait.
I mean.
I thought you wanted to talk about the Giants after Monday night.
Come on. I mean, I would say, like, it's a rivalry, but it's not right now. give us a year or two.
You know, I thought this would be another great year for the Eagles. You know, I looked at the roster, and I said, okay, you know, New York's rebuilding, Washington's rebuilding. Okay, there's one team, Dallas.
Yeah,
we've got to beat Dallas.
You still got to beat
Dallas.
but not at 6-7 apiece.
6-7. You're going to be tied. So there's three games left. Who's going to get hot at the end of the season? But it is kind of frustrating because I think this Eagles team is talent-laden. But
injury-laden also. Well, I mean, D-Jack goes down early.
That's the league, though, Dickie. You know, you look around, everybody has injuries. Now, you lose to Sean Jackson. That's the guy that's a choom.
Yep.
And it's funny. I'm watching the game last night, and I'm, you know, the Baltimore's wide receivers, and The big turnaround with that team, and I weren't talking Lamar Jackson. He's the MVP. He's been phenomenal. But I'm watching these wide receivers. They can flat out fly.
That's right.
Speed is the key. I think of his career. Speed, acceleration.
Oh, yeah.
Never took a hard hit. Put him in a pass route. And that's what you're seeing
that's
now with the Baltimore Ravens. So speed, speed, speed. And when the Eagles lost to Sean Jackson, they got slow, slow, slow. not a good recipe.
Yeah, it's all tight ends these days. Can they pull out of this? Because the division feels like nobody wants to win it. Right, nobody is exercising the ability on their roster.
Exercising competence.
Well, really. Yeah, you're right.
To that, too, from play calling standpoint. But I'm just talking about, like, the players. I'm talking about the guys themselves, the guys in the arena. That, you know, somebody step up and make a play. I don't feel like I'm getting that from the Eagles, and I'm certainly not getting it from the Cowboys.
Certainly not the Cowboys. And the Eagles are certainly disappointing as well.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I live in this town. You know, we root for our former teams. I had four teams to root for. I had the Rams.
That's
I had
right.
the Eagles. I had the Dolphins. I had the Chiefs. I had four teams that paid
That's
me.
Right.
So
That's
I'm
right.
going to get a winner somewhere along the way every year. But, you know, when you're in this town, everyone's excited. You know, everyone thought repeat from 2017. You know, the quarterback. You got wide receivers around. Alshon Jeffery, the speed. Zach Ertz. And oh, by the way, Brandon, let me throw this in for we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
The Giants are leading the Eagles 17-3.
I was watching.
Going in the second half.
Eli.
Yeah, and the Eagles getting booed off the field.
And they deserved it.
And they deserved it, yes. And so the second half starts. The Eagles are losing wide receivers. They're playing three tight ends and a guy that was on the practice squad.
Yeah.
You know?
Alshon Jeffery lips off because he's got a Liz Frank fraction.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, this is over, man.
No, we've got all these tight ends. We got, you know, all the running backs are down. We got a guy that's on a practice squad in Boston Scott. I'm like, oh, this game's over. Giants just got to take away Zach Ertz. They win the game. All of a sudden, Carson starts throwing the ball. Zach Ertz is wide open. There's like no more than 20 yards of him, like three straight plays. I'm going, are the Giants aware
their
of this
defense
Eagle
is
offense?
So bad.
Yeah,
their defense
I'm
is
like,
terrible.
They got one guy, Carson.
Boy, and he's really
wide
sticking
open.
It to you, man.
No, he knows
do,
it.
Do I have an argument?
Charles is coming with the hammers here.
So we were thankful. So we get to live to fight another day in Philadelphia.
That's
I'm
right.
not sure if it's worth it, but we live to fight another day.
Let me ask you that Roger Worski is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So the state of Philly sports right now is pretty good.
Yeah.
You got Bryce Harper and the Phillies and Girardi and Didi just came here, and the Phillies are ascending. Bryce could be around a long time. Embiid played well last night, and Sixers, you know, certainly have a puncher's chance to get to the
championship.
He looked
a little motivated last night.
Finally.
Yeah, Charles, a little motivated.
Charles Barkley
called
him out on TV.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Now let's hope it lasts.
Exactly. Jay Wright and Villanova, they won two national championships.
Did you say the Flyers? You know, the Flyers?
I was getting to them,
okay.
man.
Okay. when things are good, we want to talk about them all.
The list is good.
All right.
But if the list wasn't so good right now, I get a sense Doug Peterson will be getting rushed on local radio, and Carson Wentz, whether it's right or wrong, and I think it would be wrong because it's not his fault, will be getting crushed as well. The state of Philly sports and the fact that they won the championship a couple of years ago has given a crazy fan base, what, another year before they kick it down the road and get nuts on this team?
No, they're on it right now.
Are they Philly fans?
Absolutely.
They really are.
Yeah. Oh, no, what have you done lately? I mean, that's Philadelphia. It's New York. It's Boston. It's all major cities. No matter how much you win, they expect you to continue to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2017 for the Eagles was a magical season.
Right.
Everything went right. This year's one of those years. It's kind of going all wrong. But that doesn't mean they're out of it. They control their own destiny.
As crazy as that is, you're right.
With the Redskins, the Cowboys at home, and then go to New York for the last game of the season. I mean, there's three teams they should beat, but also they should have beaten the Miami Dolphins.
That's true, too.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick lights
I mean,
up come that
on.
Defense.
He gives up almost 40 points to the Dolphins.
Oh,
come on, man.
I actually went down to the game because I needed to play some golf down in Miami.
This guy's got some life.
Oh, the Eagles are in Miami.
I got a little business down there. Bookie, let me get my assistant to book me a little late.
My brother did that game. You should have hooked up and played golf with him.
Rondé's going to be giving you about 8 strokes, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
Rondé's almost a handicap. I mean, he's almost a scratch.
He's getting
wow.
there.
He's almost a scratch.
I'm ready.
It doesn't sound like you're ready with that nine and a half handicap there.
To get shots on,
that's
See, that's a great equalizer about golf.
That's right.
It's called a handicap.
I understand.
Now, my son is a plus two. He's a really good player.
Wow. How old is he?
He's 34.
Okay.
Played in the golf team at Delaware.
Oh, he's cheating. I mean, guys who played golf in college, you can't.
Well, he should be good, right?
He better be good.
But see, I can beat him now because he's got to give me like 10 shots. I mean, I don't beat him, you know, on
straight
a,
up.
On,
yeah,
I don't beat him straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Them shots, you know. Hey,
I got it.
My par putts are for birdie.
Exactly, Jules. You're really one of the good guys in the business, man. Love watching you. Love listening to you. Good having you back on the show. We'll see you out here next year, man.
You guys are great, and I love being a part of this. And tomorrow is a very special day for Army-Navy, the 120th meeting.
That's
89th
right.
Here in Philadelphia. So our city's real proud to have this game here.
Back.
Thank
good
you,
to
guys.
Be back.
Great to see you.
Jaws
go Eagles.
Whoa.
I knew I'd fire Tiki up.
Come on. Get out of here, Jaws. Get him out of here. All right. We got Jay Berman's update back in New York. Coming up after that, it is time to make the old picks. We'll get a little sharp shade action. We'll get you some wins. Let's see what we got coming up here. I see a loss for Tiki. That's another loss right there. Oh, yeah, Tiki's got a rough week coming up. Six-pack of picks next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, we have to make our picks here on Tiki and Tierney. Make you a little scratch, a little cash, a little dinero, a little loot, a little money, a little cheese. But first, we have to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, today's question coming in from Jimmy. In West Point, outside of the Army-Navy game, what is your favorite sports rivalry?
Come on, the Commonwealth Cup. Virginia Tech, which we finally won for the first time in 15 years.
What if I challenge you to say it's got to be something other than that?
We know I would
that
that's
part of your DNA. That's a given. What else jumps out to you? Giants versus... If you had
honestly, it would be, but it's not relevant anymore because they're not good. It would be Cowboys Redskins because that's what I grew up with.
I could see that.
You know what I mean? And
I
the Redskins were good, and the Cowboys had the 90s. The Redskins won championships in the 80s. So,
yeah.
But it's not relevant anymore. But my historically,
yeah,
it was Cowboys Redskins.
It's crazy. So many of the rivalries that really, you know, fueled a lot of my fandom, not when I was a kid necessarily, but, you know, teen years and in high school and college, like, the Knicks and the Pacers, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, they're gone.
Knicks
right?
and the Heat doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yankees and the Red Sox has dialed down a notch a little bit here. But I would probably say, outside of my own personal fandom, I still love Carolina Duke. Mm. We'll always love that. And even though they rarely teed up on the same tee box, anytime Phil and Tiger are chasing the same thing, that's pretty good to me. So a lot of different options, obviously. Stanford, Cal, I enjoy. I got to see that once when I lived out there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so before we get to our picks here, let's see. Now we've got we only have two more. Mike, what is the math? You wouldn't be able to do this on the fly. Maybe you can. You're pretty good with this. If I was to go... Just to mess around for a second.
You're trying to get to 70?
No, I want to see if you can even still win.
No, I can't catch
you. Well, no. If I go 0-12, we have week 15, 16, and 17. So if I was to go 0-18 and you would go 18-0, of course you'd beat me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at that point.
But that's just so unlikely.
What is likely is I'm going to go 18-0 and it doesn't matter what you do.
So the bigger question is, how do you get the 70% as opposed to 60%?
I don't think I could get, even though I've been really, really good this year. I mean, at the risk of sounding like a jerk, I've been really good. 60% is like 80% in gambling. There is no 70% when you do six games a week. So Tiki, to his credit, started off very slowly.
No, it was 20.
I was going to bury him. I'm like, this guy's going to beat him again. And
you know what? I got hot in college.
You did, because you started doing some games.
That's right.
You started looking at things a little differently. You started taking it maybe a little more seriously, mm-hmm. finally.
No, it's just college. You got to follow college to know college.
That's true. And you got to know where to look for the value.
Yeah,
some of those
right.
obscure conferences can win you back some cheese. Money's the same. It doesn't matter if you win in the SEC or the Mountain West. So Tiki right now, 26-15-2 over the last 7 weeks, which is a hell of a record. He is 42-39-4 on the season. He is 51-point change. We'll round it up, 52%. He's over the break-even point. Good run. I'm flat at 60%. 50 wins, 33 losses, 2 pushes, and even 60%. So with that being said, let's jump into the picks, make you a little money. Here we go.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six-pack of picks.
All right, so
So keep in mind, you know, unless one of us wanted to do the Army-Navy game, which I'm going to hold off on that.
Yeah, I am too.
Incorporate that. I don't have that among my six. What we have done this year and what we've done for 7 years now, three college, three pro. Obviously, college is over outside of the remaining bowl games, which we're not going to do today. Mm-hmm. So the challenge, this work can get a little tougher now because there's not always six NFL games I like.
That's right.
I mean, that's a challenge. So keep that in mind. Here we go. First up. The Buccaneers are at the Detroit Lions. What is the number? Doesn't matter because I'm going for the over-under. I'm going for an over-under out of the shoot. The over here is 46, okay? Now, I believe there'll be a little indifference on the part of Detroit. I'm not so sure that Matt Patricia's coming back. I'm really not. I'm not. And with their quarterback situation against an opportunistic defense, which statistically is very good and very underrated, that Buccaneers defense, they get some sacks, they get after you a little bit. I believe that, the Lions will give the Bucs some short fields. I believe the Buccaneers will make a few mistakes because they always do, but I believe they will offset those mistakes with a lot of big plays because they always do that as well. What does it all mean? It means you ring up the over. Over 46 in the Buccaneers and the Lions game. Up next, the Bears plus 4.5 points at the Green Bay Packers. You know what? I kept saying for a couple of weeks, I don't know who the hell the Green Bay Packers are. I'm not saying that anymore. I know who the Green Bay Packers are. They're a pretty good team. They're pretty good. They're not special. They're not elite. They're not a championship team. They're pretty good. And you know what? You can say whatever you want about, well, last week, I know Rondé did the game. Oh, it wasn't really that close. It was, the score was still 20-15. When you only score 20 points and the opponent scores 15, it's somewhat of a close game. Mm-hmm. And when that somebody's the Redskins, who have played better than Les, I get that. They're playing hard for Callahan. I know that. The Bears have been playing better. Their defense is good, and Trubisky has played better. I'm going to take the 4.5 points, hope for the best. A divisional matchup, probably a little sloppy weather. You run the football, the clock ticks. The 4.5 is a number I like. I'm taking the Bears plus 4.5 in Lambeau. Up next, oh, this is the big one on CBS. The Texans at the Titans, the over-under. So two of my first three picks going for the over-under. And like the first time, I'm going for the over. No way, I'm going for the under, pardon me. I'm going under, 50.5. That just seems a little rich for my blood. What did Bourbon used to say back in the day? Tick, 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 tick. When you run the ball, tick, 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 tick. When you run the ball, what happens? You tick downward. And I know Tannehill's throwing it, but they will run it with a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. I just think that's a big number. I don't like that. 50.5, that's too much. That 24, 21, 27, 20, something like that. I'm going with the under on that game. Up next, this one I'll make quick because it's all about sentimentality. I don't need to back it up with stats. Dolphins at the Giants. Nobody has been more critical in terms of carving out a true definition of his career than me. Giant fans get mad at me because for years I'm saying, is he really a Hall of Famer? Not that I don't think that he will get in. He will. But we've always debated, was he ever really great or did he just have a couple of great moments? I believe it's the latter, with all due respect. Having said that, I want to see Eli play well. I want to see him soak in that adulation at MetLife Stadium. 80,000 Giant fans who have been miserable, whatever it is, 70-something thousand at MetLife, have been miserable for almost a decade now, just about, with McAdoo and Shermer, who's going to be gone soon. Let's have a throwback day. Dolphins are competitive, but I really do think the Giants play well. I believe they have fun, and I believe Eli covers the number at 3.5. Give me the Giants. The Colts at the Saints. The over-under. Going for another over-under here, Teague. And I'm going to go this time back to the over. The over-under is 46. The Colts, the Saints hung 46 by themselves, or 48, on the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to take the over in the Colts and the Saints game. And finally, the Jaguars at the Raiders, the final game at the Coliseum. The Jaguars have quit. The Jaguars are in a state of utter disrepair. Marone's going to be gone. Coughlin's going to be gone. They stink. And the Raiders aren't very good right now either. But I do believe they're playing for something because Gruden's trying to instill blah, blah, blah. There he is. What's up, Mr. Midshipman, the Navy mascot? There he is, even though I'm rooting for Army. So I'm going to take the Raiders minus 6.5 points to demolish a team that has no interest in playing football right now in the Jaguars. Real fast. Over. Bucks at the Lions, 46. Over. The Bears plus 4.5 at the Packers. I've got the Bears. Texans at the Titans, under 50.5. Dolphins at the Giants. G-Men laying 3.5. Lay the wood. Eli plays well. He gets the win. Colts at the Saints. I'm sorry. I'll talk to you after that. Saints. Mr. Mascot has an issue with that.
I know.
The Colts at the Saints. Over 46.
I think we're going to get rammed over here.
And finally, the Jaguars at the Raiders. The Raiders crush them. Lay the 6.5. Go get them.
Bill,
stay hot.
Bill the Goat. I'm intimidated by Bill the Goat.
All right, here we
get
go.
Get him on set.
I'll go
come
quickly.
On. Well, go ahead. No, take your time.
I'll
D.
go
come
quickly.
Just
Buccaneers.
Don't get, Lions.
I'm taking this game too, BT, but I have a lot more faith
stand up and greet you
in the Lion, in the Buccaneers than you do. Give me the Bucs minus four. I know Mike Evans is down because of his hamstring injury, but O.J. Howard has started to come on of late. Bashard Perriman is going to be good. Chris Godwin is a stud.
He's going to mush your picks here, Teak, by the way.
No,
he's
going to
mush your picks.
Look, he's giving me.
He knows you're rooting for Army. He's going to mush your picks.
What are you talking about? I just, I mean, 4,000 yards rushing.
He, listen, we're going to, can you speak?
Not really.
Feels like an Essex rip. All right, Bucks from the 70s. What the hell's going on here?
The Vikings are traveling out to L.A. to take on the Chargers. You know, that stadium's going to be half Vikings fans.
Going,
you know what I mean? The Vikings, are, it's basically just who's winning or losing. It's minus 1.5 for the Vikings. Uh-huh. They're going to be more Vikings fans than I think Chargers fans. I like the Vikings laying 1.5. The Patriots at the Bengals. I mean, how much
why are you touching that game?
Because how much intel did they pick up with the camera?
This is hysterical.
Give me the Pats minus 10 in Cincinnati. The Browns, the two games that I did last week,
Browns.
And I couldn't touch them either last week because I was calling
right.
the game. But the Browns are laying 3 going out to Arizona. Arizona's playing okay. Kyler Murray's having a pretty good rookie season. But yep. I do like the Browns. They're trying to get this monkey off their back. They ain't have a week without distractions. I think they'll play well. Give me the Browns.
Smart figuring out.
Minus 3. The Falcons at the 49ers. Both of these teams can score. The Falcons are obviously a team in limbo a little bit with their head coach, kind of Dan Quinn, in kind of
he's
purgatory right now. He's going to get fired.
Just saying.
But the 49ers can score points, and they play pretty good defense. I like them being able to score 48, maybe themselves.
Love it,
but give me the Falcons at the 49ers over 48, and then I'm going to go over again in the Bills and the Steelers only because this number is so low. I don't know if we've seen a number this low,
BT. What was it? I haven't listened to a word you said.
I know you have it. 36 to Bill the Goat is sitting on your lap, basically.
36.5?
36.5.
That's got to be the lowest over under the season.
No doubt about it.
It absolutely has to be.
I mean, how did I not
take
the over on that? So I'm going over.
Good call. I like
the Bills at the Steelers.
Nice.
Give me the over, the Bills at the Steelers. So to recap, Bucks minus 4, Vikings minus 1.5. The Pats laying 10, give it to me over the Bengals. The Browns laying 3. I like that over the Cardinals. And then overs in both the Falcons 49ers at 48 and the Bills and Steelers 36.
There they are, the Teaky and Tierney six-pack of picks with a little curveball from the midshipman mascot. Now, I know you can't speak, so I have to keep the integrity of the radio show because it's a TV show, but it's also radio, so those who aren't watching can't think. Are you a student, yes or no? You are a student. No, you're not a student.
He's a midshipman.
Well, I know you're a midshipman, but you're not a professional mascot. Do you attend the academy? Well, I don't know. What does that
7-1.
Mean?
7-1.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
He's the goat. He's the goat. 7-1. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure what that means either. Are you guys going to win tomorrow?
Oh, he's a goat. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. I got it.
Oh, he's fired up. I got you. All right, if this keeps up much longer, I'm not going to have a job on Monday. So I wish you the absolute best. I mean this sincerely, profound respect for your institution.
Yes.
Have a great day.
Most
seriously.
Certainly.
Thanks for inviting us out here. There you go. All right.
Much love.
Yeah, much love. Much love.
Good
go
luck.
Army. Much love. Oh, my bad. Go ahead. Oh, man, Teak.
Bill
wow.
the Goat. That's Bill the Goat.
Billy the Goat.
No, Bill the Goat.
I didn't know what 71 meant.
What does
that
mean?
I can read.
71.
I don't know. All I said was, are you a student? And he kept going, 71. I don't know what that means.
I mean,
what does that mean?
Samter, you got to come interpret over here.
Because
he acted like he knew
Samter's
what he was talking about.
I know. He understands what he's saying.
7-1. Bill
oh,
the
what
goat.
A circus those last
Marlo,
5 minutes were.
Marlo, you got to give some intel for us.
Between me beatboxing with Fat Joe yesterday and Billy the Goat stepping up on the scene.
She's not on her headset.
Marlo, how you doing over
she
there,
can't
Marlo?
Do the research for
everybody
us.
Good?
Samter, we need some interpretation on what 7-1 means.
Yeah, what does
please tell us.
I don't know what the 71 means. He's writing it down.
Yeah, we have a minute, so hurry up. Or just put your headset on and talk.
So...
so according to the Goat... The goat handler. Bill the goat handler.
Yes.
Apparently the goat can use sign language.
Oh.
Okay.
He can't speak English because it's a goat.
Of course.
But according to the handler, he is sponsored by the class of 71.
Ah.
So that's what that is. He's the class of 71. And when you were asking him if he's a student, he's not a student. He's a goat. Right, like you think that there's a person under there or something?
Yeah.
No, he's a goat.
But he's a student from the class of 71 wearing a goat outfit.
No.
Or he's
an actual goat.
He's a midshipman from right now who's representing the class of 71.
There it is.
Got it.
And acting like a goat.
Got it.
Bill the goat to be
Billy
exact.
Billy the goat. All right, listen, Philly has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for having us in our in our weirdness.
Thank you, USAA, for hosting us once again, Army, Navy.
Everybody have a
Watch
phenomenal
this weekend.
It's on CBS. We'll catch you. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.